From the boardroom to the shop floor, good business runs on good governance. Join esteemed expert in governance, Dr. Nimrod Mbele, for the next hour as he takes us beyond governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to tonight's installment of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm delighted once again to be sharing this space and time with you on this glorious Wednesday here in Johannesburg, which is rather a bit cold. I suppose that the season is slightly changing. This month holds particular significance for South Africa as we commemorate Human Rights Month, a time dedicated to reflecting on the values of human dignity, equality, and constitutionality that underpinned our democracy. As we proceed on this show, you know, we go beyond the surface. We unpack substance behind the stories. We challenge the comfortable narratives and confront difficult truth, thereby shining light on gaps, contradictions, and blind spots that happens in our system. Our aim is very clear on this show. We promote accountability. We stimulate informed debates. And we advance a meaningful reform. Tonight, we extend that particular trajectory by putting spotlight on governance challenges in higher education sector. We'll be examining what moments of institutional strain reveal about leadership, oversight, and long-term credibility of universities. I'm sure everyone is aware that over the past years, the sector, the higher education sector, has experienced a shared governance lapses and institutional tensions, raising important questions about accountability, stewardship, and resilience on our governance system. And yet, it is equally important to recognize that South Africa's universities remain remarkable centers of excellence, academic excellence, innovative research, and dedicated leaders who continue. To advance knowledge, transform lives, and contribute meaningful to national development. On our conversation on this glorious evening, we therefore seek to strike a balance, by reflecting honestly on governance challenges, while celebrating many examples of strong leadership and scholarly achievement that continue to define higher education space. You might recall on this higher education landscape, institutions such as Tshwane University of Technology, Walter Sisulu University, and Forte at different times have experienced governance crises that prompted national attention and intervention. In response to some of the serious governance lapses at that Vaal University, the then Minister of Higher Education, Dr. Blaine Zamante, appointed Patrick Fitzgerald, who is the former Vice Chancellor at University, as administrator in some of those universities. This appointment obviously was made under the Section 41 of Higher Education Act, which temporarily vested with him with executive authority to oversee university administration and to restore proper governance structures while guiding corrective measures. So these are some of the issues that higher education are grappling. But anyway, before we get into the gist of a much anticipated conversation with Prof here, let me just quickly thank Zama, Sipiwe Zama Mteto, the producer of the show, for lining up yet remarkable conversation that I'm looking forward to have with Professor George Mpedi, who is the Vice Chancellor at the University of Johannesburg. Sipiwe, your work is very important, and thank you so much. I also want to extend my gratitude to Craig Guthrie, who is the controller, pressing all the right buttons as we navigate the interface with commercial world. Your precision, my good sir, keeps the show running smoothly. And last but not least, let me thank you, the beloved listener, for tuning in on this glorious Wednesday. Your engagement and curiosity are what makes Beyond Governance truly special. Meanwhile, I implore you to engage with us on throughout the show via our socials. Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1009. And of course, your views and thoughts are most welcome via my X handle, which is @DrMbele. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome My guest, Professor George Mpedi, the Vice Chancellor of the Vice Chancellor of University of Johannesburg. Prof, good evening and welcome to Beyond Governance.
Good evening, Dr. Mbele. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is certainly ours. Prof, in my earlier introductory note, I obviously, pointed out a number of challenges that have been experienced at the sector level. And in the same way, we've also experienced a number of successes. But perhaps maybe when you start, how would you assess our universities in comparison with the global higher education landscape? The reason I'm asking this is because we're always in a process as a country or as an institution competing or benchmarking ourselves with the best of the world in the world. Could you just give us an overview of where you think South African universities are in relation to the global competitors?
I will confine my comments to the public institutions in South Africa. Our universities are certainly competitive, when you compare us with many universities in the world. This is something that we need to acknowledge, when we compare ourselves globally. Look at our graduates, our graduates are highly sought after, globally, irrespective of where one has graduated. You go overseas, you meet, South Africans who graduated at various institutions in South Africa. So we need to acknowledge that. And another important point that I need to mention this evening is the investments, that our government is making in our sector. We are in a position where, where we can really do something, with the little that we get. Many institutions, particularly on the continent, people don't get some of the resources that we get. Of course, we can do with more, Dr. Mbele. I must be honest with you. But we do get some investments that really we can do some serious research. Of course, we can use more, but we need to acknowledge the little that we also get. We are still in a position where we can do some serious work. So we must acknowledge that.
No, great stuff. I'm sure we can always stretch our rent a little bit more. And to be honest with you, we must count ourselves, I suppose we should count ourselves as blessed in South Africa because, to your point, we do produce high caliber individuals that are highly sought after across different fields with medicine, science, and so on and so forth. So it does say South Africa is among the best. On the very same note, Prof, I've looked at some of the achievement of UJ from the perspective of global competitiveness. From your perspective, where is UJ in relation to global rankings, where do you see your tenure as a VC towards? I'm sure you're working towards a particular number. So far the closest, obviously, we have to look at top 100. At some point, you might be looking at top 50. Where is UJ, and where is your vision in relation to, getting closer to an ideal international ranking, and what will that be?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. If you look at UJ, as UJ, we are a relatively young university, but then when you bring in our legacy institutions were not that young, but starting with a new name, new brand, new culture, it's really not a small thing to do. So for that reason, I really acknowledge our legacy institutions, the work that has been done, but I also acknowledge the work that was done by my predecessors, the first and second vice chancellors, Professor Rensbeck and Professor Marwala. What we're doing at UJ is that when a new vice chancellor steps in, we don't have a situation where when a new vice chancellor steps in, you take a different path. We build on your predecessor's work. Of course, you evolve, and take the university forward. Now, in terms of where we stand when it comes to rankings, we do not live for rankings. But when our work is acknowledged globally in terms of rankings, we accept that with the greatest of humility. The University of Johannesburg is a university on the rise. You asked, where do we stand? On a number of rankings, we're already ranked in the top 50, top 100. take rankings that really matter a lot to us. All rankings matter. But as a university, we took a conscious decision that, look, we don't want to be the best university in the world. We say we want to be the best university for the world. And you'll ask me, what do you mean by that? What we mean here, we say everything we do, we want it to have a positive impact, you know, for the society. We talk about societal impact. We don't want to do things for the sake of, you know, of doing them. So take the issue of sustainable development goals. We took a conscious decision that we want to contribute meaningfully when it comes to the achievement of sustainable development goals. And you look at the rankings that concern sustainable development goals, we are ranked number one in Africa for a few years in a row. We are now ranked number 26 in the world. And when you take individual sustainable development goals, we are ranked, I mean, some top five, you know, number two, number one, you know, the achievement of zero hunger and so on. So we're really grateful for that. In terms of universities that are under 50, we are ranked number one in Africa. The Times Higher Education ranks us number one as number one university in terms of universities in sub-Saharan Africa. The latest rankings released by QS Rankings, which is one of the authoritative rankings organization, ranks us number two. So we are really moving. And if you look at these rankings, these are the rankings that just came out in the last 3 years when I'm vice chancellor. But then this is, we're building on the work that has been done and is the contribution that we've been doing. But it will be also unfair because I've been with this university for the last 20 years. So even when we had other vice chancellors, I have been contributing with my colleagues in other small ways. So it's teamwork. Even now, I will not take the credit. It's because of the strong work ethic and teamwork of the hardworking men and women at the University of Johannesburg.
On that note, we're going to come back on this beautiful conversation that will unpack a little bit more. Craig, let's take a break before we, when you come back, I want to dig a little bit more on some of the issues that Prof has pointed out, especially in respect to how remarkable has UJ ranking has been. And the extent to which they've been acknowledged by, you know, authoritative ranking institutions. Let's take a break and come back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Good evening and welcome back. It is now 21 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock. If you've just joined us, I'm having... you know, just started my conversation with the Vice Chancellor of University of Johannesburg, Professor George Mpedi, and we're unpacking some of the complex institutions that are obviously, you know, associated with the high institution, as it were. And before we took that break, Prof was giving us some of his overview in terms of where University of Johannesburg is in relation to global standing. And it is quite pleasing to hear that UJ has been duly acknowledged for its competitiveness, for its research output by a number of you know, accredited or credible institutions. Prof, as we proceed, one of the issues that unfortunately you and I have to deal with, and of which, even if it happens at the sector level, it has ramification to individual institutions such as UJ. For an example, you know, we've noted that University of Tshwane, Vaal, have different times been placed under administration due to governance breakdown. You may not obviously give me the ins and out of those particular institutions. However, there are lessons that, you know, the sector as a whole draws from those particular incidences. From your perspective, what are the early warning signs that governance, you know, governance that you know, what are the early warning signs that governance in a university is beginning to fail? That you, yeah, as a driver, that you as a driver, you've got your pulse on from time to time, and you don't want to let go. Could you just personally illuminate us?
Yeah, thanks for the question. As you have pointed out, it's difficult to tell as a vice chancellor sitting at another university, because one may not be privy, you know, or may not be knowledgeable in terms of the inner workings of another institution or what might have happened other than what we read in the newspaper. But I can only comment about what is happening at the University of Johannesburg and what one is grateful for, you know, as the vice chancellor of a university, you know, working closely with, you know, a strong team, you know, of, you know, strong leaders on the management team, supported by a strong council. I think it's really critical, you know, to have a strong council, you know, because I mean, council plays an important role when it comes to governance issues and providing that strong leadership. And we're really grateful to have such a council that, you know, provides such strong, you know, support, you know, and provides that governance role. Because as you will agree, there is also that distinction between the role of council and the role of the university management in terms of the day-to-day running of the university. And of course, there are also issues that happen on a day-to-day basis that, you know, as the leadership of the university also.
We seem to have lost Prof there. And we're going to have to take a quick break. When you come back, and we'll get Prof back online so that he gives us a very good insight on what are some of the challenges that are associated with, you know, with governance. You know, so we seem to, Craig tells me Prof is back. Prof, we lost you just a little bit there, and we probably lost you when you were saying you obviously can't comment on other universities per se, but you acknowledge the role of a council, which is quite strategic. And that's where we lost you. Perhaps maybe you could just take us through. Because we all know that, you know, from a governance point of view, council is one strong pillar that is you know, is a cornerstone on what, cornerstone of what happens within the broader administration, as it were. Based on your understanding, what would you say are the key ingredients of a well functioning council and executive?
Yes, as I was pointing out, apologies that we were cut. As I was saying, that of course the strong distinction, there's a strong distinction between the various roles, you know, of these two important role players in terms of, you know, the governance role that council plays and also, you know, the role that the management would play, you know, as the people who do the operational functions of, you know, the day-to-day operational role of a university, you know. Sometimes when lines do get blurred, that can also be problematic. I'm not saying this is what has happened in other places, but when lines do get blurred, sometimes that can also be a problem. I also indicated that, of course, it doesn't mean that management of the university does not have that governance responsibility, because on a day-to-day basis, there are also certain governance roles that you play, you know. How you conduct your meetings, how you run the institution. There are certain governance principles that you have to comply with.
Thank you very much. If you've just joined us, this is a interesting conversation that I'm having with Professor Josh Mpedi, who is the Vice Chancellor at the University of Johannesburg. We're unpacking what it takes to steer a complex institution and maintain trust in a system facing a whole lot of challenge. And challenge, I've made reference to what happened to other universities. And of course, our conversation is not so much about what is happening in those universities. For it's something that you and my prof and everyone else read from the newspaper and so on and so forth. However, it is important for us to reflect on these so that we strengthen, so that we learn and strengthen you know, our own understanding, so that we stay away from those typical challenges that would have been picked up by the likes of Professor Patrick Fitzgerald, whom I know quite well, and one day we'll definitely bring him in on the show, because as an administrator, he obviously have a different take to what sort of issues that he unearthed from the governance perspective. Prof, as we proceed, I mean, one of the critical issues that you know, you pointed out that, you know, leadership is such an important aspect of a well-functioning institution. And I do like and appreciate the fact that you acknowledge your predecessors such as Prof. Marwala and Professor Renbeck. And something that is often understated in the public institutions, because we know in government when the new minister comes, the trajectory change. When the new MEC comes, everything changes. That is why there is no continuity. And you know, and it's good thing to see that universities are behaving in a slightly different manner. And one of the issues that perhaps maybe you might want to, you know, give us your sense on, it's a very controversial issue which from time to time creates tension between council as well as executive and senate. It is an issue around, you know, autonomy. You know, from time to time, sort of, you know, universities are autonomous. Could you just personally unpack for us what it means to be autonomous in relation to administration, in relation to, you know, forces that come from outside, be it on a curricula, be it on the posture a university is taking, and so on and so forth. Could you just take us through that, because it's something that in my line of work and what I've experienced along the way, I found it very interesting. So I want to hear from you and your take on institutional autonomy and what it means on a day-to-day practice of a university such as UJ.
Yeah, the issue of institutional autonomy is something that is being debated almost on a daily basis, and I don't think that debate will be settled today or on this show. It's something that has been debated for many years. You know, what does it mean, depending on who's debating that. But what we know is that this is a type of freedom that you find also in our constitution, where there is academic freedom, for example. It's closely linked to academic freedom, where, you know, you get freedom of thought, institutional autonomy. I mean, it's part of institutions being able to design their curriculum without any interference in terms of people researching what they can research. It's part of institutions being able to pursue research that they would like to research. It's much broad, you know. It's that freedom that makes an academic institution an academic institution. Otherwise, you know, academic institutions would not be able to function as institutions of, you know, institutions where people discover new ideas or where people can debate ideas and take societies forward without any restrictions. And once you restrict institutions of academic learning, I can tell you this is where you restrict that freedom of thought, academic freedom, and that autonomy. Then that is where you stifle, you know, those institutions from doing what academic institutions were meant to do. But of course, it doesn't mean that then institutions have got free rein to do as they want to do without any accountability of any form, you know, because those things must also be clarified. Any freedom has got limitations, you know, just like rights, you know. Rights are not absolute. Within certain, you know, confines, you know, you have to exercise them, but within certain limitations. So that's why institutions have got statutes that provide, you know, the frameworks within which they can operate. That autonomy means institutions can come up with a program within certain prescribed regulations, you know, without anybody restricting them from coming up with programs. Of course, as I said, there are certain rules and regulations that they must comply with. So that is my take on that.
No, thank you very much, Prof, because, you know, these issues, there are always tensions between what is defined as institutional autonomy, because one, the state, obviously the state, these are public institutions funded by public fiscus, and there are obviously expectation from the side of government in relation to admission, in relation to access, in relation to quality. You're quite correct that, you know, there are these issues are obviously have to be confined, and there's some level of accountability that needs to happen. one of the issues that in part speaks to autonomy has got to do with, you know, a government, you know, the numbers. I mean, I'm sure, you know, UJ, as much as any other university, has limited capabilities in terms of spaces. And every year we see, you know, learners or students queuing, sleeping in corridors, in bus station, and so on and so forth. How is this challenge of influx of students into university being cushioned or been ameliorated? Because it's such a unpleasant sight to see lots of children, you know, a lot of not children but students queuing in anticipation for admission, and some of those are not being admitted. So what has been the proactive role on the side of UJ to try and manage those kind of issues? Prof. Bedu, who is the Vice Chancellor at University of Johannesburg. We're going to take a quick break. When you come back from this break, we will resume our conversation with George Mbedu, who is the Vice Chancellor at the University of Johannesburg. We are unpacking what it takes to steer a complex institution and maintain trust in a system facing a shared number of challenges. Let's take a break, Craig. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. We're just having a good, interesting conversation with Professor George Mbedu, who is the Vice Chancellor at the University of Johannesburg. We're basically unpacking what it takes to steer a complex institution such as UJ and maintain a trust in a system that is facing a number of challenges. There was a bit of reflection on what was happening around other universities, whether it's Forte, Walter Sisulu University, and Tshwane University of Technology. These are some of the institutions that were grappled or that were going through a bit of governance lapses. And from that end, you know, we obviously wanted to hear from Prof in terms of what are the lessons that from where he's sitting is beginning to pick up, because what happens in one institution has a ramification to another, even though the Prof was not able to articulate for the reasons, of course, what happens in those institutions. But he has been able to give us a very good sense of how universities be managed. He gave us a very good sense on the role of a council and what makes a council effective, and the interface between council as Senate as well as executive management, whose responsibilities to do or manage day-to-day operation of the institution based on codes, based on prescript of good governance. So there's a lot that we have picked up from Prof. And we also, you know, got to hear a little bit more about the role of his predecessors, something that one needs to acknowledge and appreciate, that in some of the public institutions, how I wish your mainstream government were to work like university, were in there's a blueprint of an institution which the successors don't have to differ from. It's just a matter of them going through and implementing. And personally, that's why UJ over the past 20 years has managed to gain substantive international recognition, purely because they seem to be a blueprint which all the leadership is following. So these are some of the nuggets that we have been able to get through in a Professor George Mbedu, who's the Vice Chancellor at the University of, you know, of Johannesburg. Unfortunately, we could not proceed with our conversation. We seem to be having a technical glitches from that. But having said that, these are some of the issues that you know, he reflected to us. I mean, one issue that stood up for me is this notion of institutional autonomy and how it works in, you know, in relation to external pressures. Unfortunately, you know, by the time we got cut off, I wanted him to respond, because one of the issues that there's obviously a push in terms of demand and supply. We have seen more and more students every year being, you know, coming through to the higher institution, and some of these, the demand or the supply in relation to spaces is not you know, commensurate with the number of or the influx. So it would have been very interesting to see how or hear how Prof respond to that particular challenge. And the other issue that I would have wanted him to respond to is the quality. It is one thing to talk about quantity of graduates. What is the quality of graduates? And the extent to which these qualities or these graduates that the system is producing, not only from UJ, not only from VETS, but the entire higher education sector, why is it that we're sitting with so many graduates that are unemployed? And you know, why are the universities, or what is it that universities are doing differently to try and get, or to reconfigure their programming in relation to academic qualification such that it addresses those key gaps that exist in the market? Unfortunately, those are issues that I would have wanted Prof to respond to, and we got cut, and we're struggling to get him back. Nevertheless, so far, Prof has given us interesting food for thought, which is worthy. But anyway, let me just implore you, the listener, while we've got 5 minutes or so to kill, what are you saying? What are your thoughts in relation to how universities is faring? You know, are the universities still relevant from where you're sitting? Which universities or qualifications? Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are welcome via my S handle at Dr. Mbele. So, we're going to have an open line, Craig, or perhaps maybe let's see, how the listeners are interrogating this very important issue. We all know the universities play such a huge role in the economy, because we're operating in knowledge economy. Universities are at the core of knowledge economy, and the extent to which they are relevant is such a big issue. Maybe let's take a quick break, Craig, and let's wrap up and see by the time we come back, perhaps maybe one or two listeners would want to share or air their views on this matter.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. We're literally, gravitating towards the end of the show. As you might have picked up, we had a very good conversation with Professor Letloko George Mpedi, who is a Vice Chancellor at the University of Johannesburg. And he gave us a very good insight on how to manage complexities around the universities. In my view, universities are not merely institutions of learning. They are custodians of knowledge. They are incubators of innovation and spaces where the next generation of leaders and thinkers are shaped. Our discussion today highlights a delicate balance between institutional autonomy and responsible and accountable leadership. Universities flourishes when balance is maintained, I would argue, when academic freedom is protected, when leadership is guided by vision and integrity, and when governance structures function in a manner that strengthens rather than constrained mission of the institution. What emerged from our conversation around institutional autonomy is that, on the contrary, they are mutually reinforcing. When you look at autonomy and accountability, it made very strongly that they are mutually reinforcing principle. When exercised responsibly, institutional autonomy, based on Prof's view, can enable universities to pursue excellence in teaching, research, and innovation. We're going to have to leave it at it. It's been absolutely beautiful getting that kind of perspective, from Professor Mbedi, who is the Vice Chancellor of University of Johannesburg. It is unfortunate that we could not. We had a bit of a glitch there, and we will certainly try and bring him back so that we finish unfinished business. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful evening until we meet again next time. Shalom.